I know. Okay, girls. Again, we start with a little skeleton crew, and then we just build and build. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Let's talk a minute about next week. Margie Newman is going to be here. And so we are going to change our time 15 minutes at least so that everyone will be in the room. We understand about, you know, children and everybody coming in during this time. But when Margie's here, we do want to, we would like for everybody to be in the room when we start. So what we're going to do is offer a little refreshment next week. You're welcome to come in a quarter till just like we're used to doing. Or before, whatever you'd like to do, and we are going to offer, you know, a little pickup food.
That's the day of fasting.
The 27th is the day the church is supposed to fast for this new thing that they're doing.
Okay.
Really?
Isn't
that right? I hadn't heard that.
It is.
All right. Okay, so we won't. So what?
We won't offer anything to eat.
Oh, okay. All right, so scratch that. We, but anyway, come and visit and, yeah, it was me, so that's good. Okay. I'll put my book up. I had my book laying out on my chair last night. Okay, so, but we are going to wait. We are going to start at 8 o'clock. And so we do want everybody to, you know, let's try to be timely next week so that when Margie starts, we'll all be seated and ready to go. We still, you know, we're not having a lesson. She will, I mean, a small group, and so she will take our entire time, and she has a lot to tell us in a short period of time. So let's try to start at 8 o'clock. Okay, another thing that we have under our housekeeping duties, our, you know, we're over, I believe, over halfway through now. We are over halfway through, and so we're planning and talking about our last meeting, which will be November the 17th, that our last lesson will be the week before in last small group. And so on November the 17th at our regular time early, we're going to meet at Judy Potts' house for a brunch. And if you're not asked to bring anything, you're a lucky girl, and just come. And you know, we're just going to pass a few little duties around. So it's not covered dish for everybody to bring. We're going to plan that, and we'll be at Judy Potts' home. And there is something, you know, I told you we're not having a lesson that day. We'll already be through with our book. But there's a surprise being planned, a speaker whom I am quite certain no one's ever heard that's going to be really special. And we're just not going to reveal who she is until that morning. But it's really something to look forward to, and you're all going to really enjoy her. And so I might give you a few hints next week. Maybe not. But anyway, that November the 17th is going to be a fun morning, and I certainly don't want anyone to miss. We'll talk about that again every week until time. Let me mention that Rachel Potts has severe ear infections in both ears. Did not sleep any last night. And what else? Some concern that one of her eardrums may rupture because they are severely infected. So let's remember Rachel and her mother, to say the least. Now, let me tell you, you probably all know this, but Jennifer Fowler Sample was able to come home Tuesday about noon for a week before she goes back for another week in the hospital. So she was excited to go home. She had not been home, I believe it had been 5 weeks since about September the 10th or 11th. So she lives 20 minutes really from the hospital. So she was thrilled to go home, and Lauren's up there spending the week with her. So we certainly have, that's a praise for Jennifer, and we certainly need to remember Rachel and Chris. And Sylvia had a biopsy on her hip, so we need to certainly remember her also while she waits for the results. She's gotten along. She's getting over her gallbladder surgery, but this is another issue. Okay, let's open with prayer, and then I'm going to turn this over to Anna.
Reiterate that we're going to try to think of someone to invite next week.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm back at child care if you have extra kids in the nursery.
Right. Okay. Next week, you know, Margie's topic is my family. Is it creating or meeting the needs of my children? What exactly does my child really need? And of course, this translates into your family, your grandchildren, your neighbor's children, everybody. And so, since Margie is a dynamic speaker and you'll have much to learn, if you have any acquaintance or friend or neighbor that you think would benefit from this, which would be anybody, be sure and bring a friend. We would love to have this room full. We'll have all the chairs up. And so.
Start here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to try to really open it 8 and give her the entire, where she'll have 45 minutes. So, do bring a friend and be here next week, or more than one friend. Okay, let's open with prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you again for this time of the morning that you placed it in our hearts to be here. And Father, we thank you for this. And I pray for Anna as she has prepared to give us this lesson this morning, that her words would be your words. And I thank you for her and for the time that she spent. I pray, Lord, for Rachel and for Chris this morning and for healing in her ears. And Father, I just pray that you would give Chris strength, and that she would, especially this eardrum that's in question, would heal, Father, and that she would not have any loss of hearing. Lord, I do thank you so much for allowing Jennifer to leave the hospital for a week and to enjoy being at home. I thank you for this time that you're giving to she and Lauren, and I just pray that it would be a special time. And I thank you for this that you've allowed in Jennifer's life. Lord, I do. I pray for Sylvia as she waits at home to hear the results from this test. And I pray that, Father, you would uphold her, and that you would wrap your arms around she and Nat, as I know you do, and I know they love for you to do and look forward to you doing. So, Father, I do pray that you would just watch over them and care for them. Lord, I pray for for Margie next week, for Traveling Mercies, and for what she will say to us. I pray that the details for November the 7th would all come together, and Lord, I just pray that our speaker that morning would be a blessing to all. Lord, you are so good to us, and we just thank you for loving us and for teaching us through these proverbs. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Anna, we look forward to hearing what you have to tell us this morning.
I wanted to mention, we're talking about prayer requests just because I'll forget it and we'll be in our prayer little groups. But I know all of y'all know Lindsay Fancher. She is a little girl. She's Anna Caroline's age, and she was diagnosed with a brain tumor a couple of years ago now. And so she's kind of been going along and taking her chemo, and, you know, she's not gotten any worse or any better. Sometimes she'll get sick and be in the hospital. However, on Monday or Tuesday, the doctors came in and they did not get good news. They believe she has developed another tumor on her spinal column. And if that is the case, that will be very, very serious. They said, you know, we believe that's what it is, but we are going to do an MRI or whatever you do today to find out. And they said it could possibly just be an infection, you know, that we're seeing. But, you know, we don't believe that. We don't want to give you that hope. But we know that God can heal everything. He can, you know, it can be an infection and it could surprise them. But if that result comes back and it is a tumor, it will be devastating to that family, because that would pretty much mean the worst for Lindsay. And I think they've had a lot of hope, but we all know that brain tumors really don't end very well most of the time. So please pray for them. I just can't imagine what they're going through. I can't imagine, and it's just devastating. They're all going through, the whole family's going through a lot of a hard toll on their bodies themselves. Just, they've all just are tiny, tiny people now. I mean, you can just see the wear and tear. So talking about Lindsay Fancher, she got a bad report. So, but we don't know till today whether or not it's you know, that. So pray today. This is the scam. All right. Well, we are on the lesson starting family. And so I get to talk about marriage and sexuality. That's mentioned several times in Proverbs. And so what I did is I went through the lesson and I picked out about 3 points that I want to make about God's purpose for marriage. God, you know, He ordained it. He has a purpose for it. And Proverbs really speaks about 3 areas that I found through my studies about what marriage was set up for. First one I want to talk about is we see in Genesis 2:18, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So we know that the first one I want to mention is companionship. God knew that everything was good that He had created. Everything was good. And when He said it, it was good. But when He saw man, it was good, except he was alone. And that wasn't good. So God created woman, and it was very good. So God knew right then that this man, he had given him dominion over everything. He had given him dominion over, he named the animals, you know, he took care of everything. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for Adam. And so God made woman. And when he did, he said it was very good. And their relationship was to be an exclusive relationship with one another. And they were to complete and fulfill one another. And he didn't stop there. He gave them duties and roles as a husband and as a wife. We know, I'll talk about the husband for a little bit because I think it's very important. The husband was to be the provider. You know, our husbands are spiritual, emotional, and physical providers. And we need that. Spiritually, if our husband is not leading in that area, we sense a void. We do. We tend to want to lead. We will make ourselves put ourselves into that place. But men are made natural leaders, and they're going to lead no matter what they're doing. If they're not filling that gap as a spiritual provider, then we're going to be feeling that, and we're going to try to fill that gap, but it's not going to be right. It's not going to be good, and we're going to feel that void. Emotionally, we all know, I mean, I can handle something emotionally terribly, and Rob can come in and he can put it in a way that taking away the emotions that I can kind of see it more clearly. Men just have such a gift for handling things emotionally. I mean, I just think about all the things our men have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And if we put our emotions into everything that we did, that they had, the decisions they had to make, it would be a wreck. It would be a wreck because we don't have that. God has given them that emotional security to deal with and to provide for His wife, and also physical needs. You know, God has put them as our providers physically, you know, to go to make the money, to provide for our home, our health, our, you know, our clothing, food. They have, that is their ultimate responsibility. Yes, I know a lot of people, women work. That is true. But the ultimate responsibility falls on the man, and we're to support in that. You know, Ephesians 5 gives them probably the hardest responsibility ever. It says a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. That is the greatest responsibility. The next thing, you know, we know what we're told to do, and I will get into that, but that's not nearly as hard as what the command for the men is. A man is given the highest responsibility to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And that is definitely putting himself in a leadership role that he cannot get out of. That is his command. That is his job. And if he's not doing it, then God will deal with that. That will be a disciplinary action on him because that is his job. That's what God has given him to do. And then I just picked out one of the Proverbs I love. Proverbs 5:18. It said, a husband is to delight in her as the wife of his youth. He is supposed to look at you just like the first day he married you and delight in you as a young woman. You marry a young woman, delight in her, feel like she is that same, you know, I know we change, we grow older. It should be deeper and sweeter. He should delight in that. And that is very hard as well. So a man is given very, very tough roles from God. So it's, you know, when you go home and you think about your husbands, we need to pray for them. I mean, that is such a hard role. But we're not out of it. So wives are given a hard role as well. Ephesians 5 talks about we're to be submissive and respectful to our husbands. You know, he is the leader. God has placed him over us, and we're supposed to submit to that. There are some decisions where we do not want to submit to it, but honestly, under the umbrella of your husband's submission is the safest place you need to be. We can go out here and try to make decisions, and honestly, sometimes, ladies, our husbands will not make the right decisions, and we probably know in our souls, but we're called to submit. And God will bless us through that. God will bless us for being obedient, to respect them. Do you know that women crave love and men crave respect? That is natural tendency. However, men don't know how to give love very well, and women do not know how to give respect very well. Isn't that a paradigm? But that is the honest truth. We crave love. And men are not good at it, but they crave respect. And we're not good at it. And so Ephesians tells us we are to respect our husbands. And that means we are to give them almost like a godly fear. The word respect in that text is fear, phobia. But that's not a fear as we should be afraid of their heavy hand. We should fear not giving them that submission because we are outside of God's will. We should submit to them, and even when we don't feel like they're necessarily making the right decisions, we can support them and pray for them, but still, to be under that headship, we must be. That is being obedient to our Lord. A wife is to be his biggest support. We're his cheering fan. We're the person in the crowd that's saying, "You're doing a good job, baby," because you know what? Never anybody else is going to cheer for them as loud as you. They go out into the workplace. They have, you know, they're beaten down. We know it's a cutthroat type situation. People want to see them fail. They've got to make really hard decisions. And when they get home, we're the people who are patting them on the back saying, "You've done a good job. You know, I appreciate what you're doing." I had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to start working for Rob, and I'll tell you, I have a great respect for what he does now. He would come home tired and kind of grumpy, and I can understand that. You know, people, you know, they all want to talk to him. He has to deal with so many different issues and problems, and he handles them at work so well. Like, I was so impressed on how he juggled everything that he was doing. And I told him several times, I was like, "I'll tell you, this has been wonderful for me. I have a different respect for you. You know, I know how hard you're working. I see it. I couldn't have done it." And I just couldn't display, like, I think my mind would have been so jumbled, I couldn't separate it out like he did. But it was just really, it was just a well-oiled machine, you know, and he really did his job well. Proverbs 31:12 says that she is to bring him harm, not good, all the days of her life. Bring him good, not harm. Sorry. Good, not harm. All the days, like, I saw your face. I always check people's faces, and you did a little thing. I was like, that didn't come out right. That's Proverbs 31:12. She's bringing him good, not harm. Yeah, well, good. I'm glad y'all caught that. But, you know, when we talk about our husbands in public, you know, to be respectful, to bring him good in public. I think that's a lot of times we women tend to complain a little bit, and I know girlfriends are good, and it's fun to have girlfriends that you can talk to, but it can bring your husband a lot of harm to malign him in front of others. And it's hard not to do that sometimes, but God's there. God knows that you need that. So I always, you know, try to tell God instead of telling somebody else, because it really is hard to keep from doing it. But we're commanded not to bring him any harm. Proverbs 12:4 talks about we're to bring him honor and joy. You know, honor comes with that respect. You know, by respecting him, we honor him, and we put him in a place of honor.
and joy. You know, when he sees us, it should be, you know, exciting and happy. You know, not somebody that's going to beat him down and say things that are going to criticize, but it should be honoring to him. There's so many verses I could not just pick one, but Proverbs talks about maintaining a peaceful home. You just think about, you know, when your husband gets home, and I know a lot of you may say, but I'm getting home at the same time he is. You know, how can I maintain a peaceful home? Well, that's our job, you know, and I know it's tough, but our job is to maintain that peaceful home and to make sure that when he comes home from a day's work that it is a sanctuary. And sometimes that's dealing with problems before he gets home, or trying to have the kids' homework done or whatever, so that when you get home, it's peaceful and nice and quiet. And I know, you know, some of these things are, you're thinking, man, that's not fair, that's harsh, but it's really not. It's our job, and if it was done just like God ordained it, it'd be a wonderful situation to come home to. And the last thing I'm going to bring out about wives is probably our hardest. She is to hold her tongue and refrain from quarrelsome words. That's very difficult. There are so many times when we just want to just get that last word in, or just tell them what we want. But we know that some of the things we say start. This is like when it, you know, opening those floodgates. It really, really starts something huge when we could have just not said it. So, you know, try to filter. You know, there are some things that there, and there's sometimes where we do have to say some things, but there is a way to do them. But just nagging and bickering, nobody wants to hear that. We wouldn't want to hear it. And you know, and what did they say about a nagging wife? and you know that drives you crazy. I mean, you'll be sitting there on the couch and deep, 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 and you're like, oh, I got to get up and turn that faucet off. Well, that's what he's hearing, because men don't stay on things like we do. You know, they move from one thing to the next, and so that is so not men. So the fact that we're doing that is so against what they even think, that it's like literally is like a dripping faucet. It's driving them crazy because their minds don't think like that. Now, women, if we had somebody nagging on us, we could understand it a little more. We'd probably just get it done. But them, they don't even understand why we're nagging like that, because that is so foreign to them. Their minds don't work like that. Okay, second thing that that God's purpose for marriage is for sanctification. God wants to make you like Christ, and the marriage union is the perfect relationship to do this, and he created it to do it, like to sanctify us. Scripture uses the picture of marriage as symbolizing the relationship between God and his people all the time. We saw it in our study. We went to Jeremiah 3:20, Ephesians 5, Revelations 19, showing how God used the marriage relationship to show his relationship with his people. And so marriage was designed to be a human echo of the relationship between Christ and his church. Marriage was designed to be a human echo of the relationship between Christ and his church. It was meant to be an intimate relationship. And God wants that same relationship with us. He created it to bring him honor and glory. And I'm running out of time, so I want to get to this last one. The third one, God's purpose for marriage, is for sexual protection. We know that God created sex for pleasure and procreation, and he created a marriage as a safe and holy place in which to do that. Genesis says the two shall be one flesh. We know that that was God's intended purpose. You know, that was an act of marriage that he ordained, and he gave it to a married couple as pleasurable and as something holy and nice. But the devil uses it to lure people into adultery. Anything that God has created for good, our human nature changes it to something bad and distasteful and ugly and nasty. Well, and the devil uses those pleasurable things to do that. And so sex has been one major thing that he has just grabbed a hold of and just run with. Proverbs 6 and 7 talks about the lure of adultery and how, you know, it talked about the woman. She stands at her door and she invites a man. It's just like a luring, you know, thing where so seductively. And we know men are definitely more lured in that way than women, but it can go both ways. And so I'm going to read for you 1 Corinthians 7, 2 through 5, and show you how God has provided that sexual protection. It's 1 Corinthians 7, 2 through 5. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. And in the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And it says right there, so Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. God's saying right here, be aware of it, it's going to happen. Satan's going to try to tempt you. But I've given this to you, this marriage to you, as sexual protection, and use it accordingly. That means we need to protect our homes. We need to filter the things that come into our homes. Internet, TV, you know, movies we watch, friends, relationships that we may have. We need to protect ourselves from it, because marriage is the most precious union in all of human relationships, and God has ordained them to be sacred and protected. So his purpose is companionship, sanctification, and sexual protection. So just, you know, remember to just protect that and to use your, read the study, find out what your roles are, because it's so difficult, but if we pray about it, we pray for our husbands, that is the way God ordained it, and our marriages should be that way. So I'm going to let us go to our classes now. I'm sorry that I was late.